Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Reverend John Kerrigan, Deacon of the Catholic community. It is the Feast of Christ the King, and the readings are from Cycle B.
The feast of the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, often evokes a mixed reaction from those of us in the church. Kingship isn't very popular today, is it? Sure, royal weddings and funerals, they attract millions of viewers worldwide. Many of us are enthralled by the ritual and the pageantry that surrounds those events. At the same time, most of us fail to be awed by the stately position of a king or a queen, especially those of us in this nation who achieved our freedom and our independence by fighting against the overreach of a monarchy. Even my iPhone with its autocorrect function gives me an unexpected response when I enter in Christ, the King of the universe. It translates it as Christ, the kid at the university. Christ, the King. Comes back with Christ, the kind. So maybe we are getting somewhere. All three of today's readings present us with a paradox. When speaking about kingship, they describe a reality that's in sharp contrast with traditional ideas about royalty. The book of Daniel talks about apocalyptic visions of kingship. Revelation gives us a vision of a king coming to us through the clouds. The gospel, one of the most dramatic scenes in the New Testament, is where Jesus responds to Pilate's arrogant question by asserting simply, "I came to testify to the truth." In trying to make sense of these readings and their claims about authority and truth, it occurred to me that the life and the legacy of recently canonized St. Oscar Romero might be of some help. Romero was a shy, pious, and intellectually gifted boy. At age 13, he entered the seminary in El Salvador. As a priest, he had a reputation of being a company man, tentative, orthodox, a pious bookworm, a friend of the ruling class rather than the poor in El Salvador. During the later years of his life, though, Romero was transformed by the abject poverty that he found in his country, as well as the systematic violation of civil and political rights that occurred with so many of his fellow citizens. Ironically, it was around the time that he was appointed archbishop, a position that can sometimes take on royal overtones, that Romero began first to testify to the truth, as Jesus does in today's gospel passage. The truth about which Romero spoke laid bare the sin inherent in the suppression of laborers who attempted to organize themselves, the ever-increasing violence that existed between the military-backed government and its opponents, and the killing of priests and religious who sided with the poor. While the archbishop's words electrified 99% of the population, they infuriated the 1% of the population that held the power and the economic wealth in El Salvador for generations. 10 years ago, I had the good fortune to visit this country. And while I was there, I was told that on any given Sunday in the late 1970s, Romero's homilies transfixed his audiences. You could walk from one corner of a campesino village to another and not miss a word of Archbishop Romero's sermons because they were broadcast via hundreds of little transistor radios. Permit me to quote from but one of those sermons. "A church that does not provoke any crisis, proclaim a gospel that does not unsettle, proclaim a word of God that does not get under anyone's skin, or a word of God that does not touch the real sin of a society in which it is being proclaimed, what kind of gospel is that? In publicly confronting the military, Romero became isolated. With only one exception, the Salvadorian bishops turned their backs on him, going so far as to send a letter to Rome accusing him of politicking. Speaking the truth to power ultimately cost Romero his life. He was assassinated in March 1980 while celebrating Mass. Reflecting on Romero's life and martyrdom, we must ask ourselves, what truth do we find in today's gospel passage? It's really quite a simple one. Jesus witnesses to the fact that God loves the world, that God loves each of us in ways we cannot imagine, that God longs for the pleasure of our company, that God so wanted to convince us of that love for us and for the world that he took on our humanity. Now, how do you and I embrace this truth? By daily increasing our awareness of the fact that it's within the fabric of our lives, with all of their contradictions, that God is preeminently to be found. The mystery of the Incarnation gives us strength to face up to the harsh realities found in our fragmented world and to experience and transmit the touch of God's reconciling love. God's incarnation doesn't hand us a ladder with which to escape to the clouds. Instead, the mystery of Jesus becoming human enables us to burrow deep into the heart of the planet Earth and to find it shimmering with dignity. For us as Christians, then, the important question is not, am I happy, but is my life meaningful? And our lives are meaningful precisely because we sense God's presence in the midst of our own and the world's suffering, sickness, loneliness, and pain. Our lives are meaningful precisely because we, like Jesus and like Romero, testify to the truth of God's mercy, the truth of God's desire for justice. Earlier this week, rains extinguished the fires and smoldering ruins in the town of Paradise and elsewhere here in California. Those rains also cleared the smoke and dangerous air that we've been breathing for the last 2 weeks. To testify to the truth of God's mercy is to continue to remember those thousands of victims of those fires, even as their stories fade from the news. To testify to the truth is to recognize that both climate change and less than adequate forest management contributed to one of the first worst fires in California's history. To testify to the truth is to identify and implement ways to prevent future catastrophes. Elsewhere, at this very moment, thousands of migrants from Honduras and elsewhere in Central America stand at our southern border. Are you and I able to testify to the truth that while every nation is entitled to maintain and manage its borders, that right must be counterbalanced with another truth? The truth that we are a nation of immigrants who have throughout our history given shelter to asylum seekers. Sad to say, the immigration crisis is not going away soon. It's a political winter for too many of our Democratic and Republican leaders. Amidst that reality, the truth of our Christian calling is to study this complex issue, to advocate for comprehensive immigration reform, and to support relief efforts here and now. Closer to home, as this Christmas season begins to unfold, are you and I able to enter into the truth of Advent as a time of preparation and positive expectancy? Are we able to adopt the discipline of morning prayer and of detachment and to model such a mindset with our family and friends? The cost of doing so will mean less technology, less consumerism, but one hopes, less anxiety. Can our personal truth be to form ourselves so as to prefer having to being, giving to getting, serving to being served? When Jesus said that his kingdom was not of this world, he did not mean that it was not in this world. Jesus constantly called on people to live lives of justice and compassion, understanding and generosity. The truth of his kingdom, the reign of God, is based on the Beatitudes. Blessed when you've lost it all. Blessed when you're ravenously hungry. Blessed when the tears flow freely. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. In the words of Archbishop Romero, let us not forget that we are a pilgrim church, always subject to misunderstanding, but a church serene because it bears the force of love. Now it's up to each of us to make visible in our world the truth of the reign of God about which Archbishop Romero spoke.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.